FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and we're getting close to Christmas. It's 12/17/18. Well, chaos, is that the byword? We just saw Obamacare struck down by the last federal judge with a backbone, not afraid to rule on the Constitution, on the legality of grave, important matters. But as always, we love when you participate in the show. Simply email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. We read everything, really good ones. We will read on air, or perhaps even interview you on air, whichever you prefer. kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, what's going to happen with special counsel Mueller? It looks like the wheels are coming off the bus on the Flynn case, and perhaps we'll have a real rarity, two judges within 7 days really asserting their judicial independence and their respect and tribute to the law. Perhaps that's too much to hope for, but James Herson is with us now. James, great to have you back on.
Hey, great to be with you. How are you?
All right. So what's going to happen here? First, let's talk about this Mueller thing. We'll talk about the campaign finance violations, the purported ones, in a moment. But what about what's happening with General Flynn's case, where, if you haven't been following it, the Judge Emmett Sullivan, probably one of the a true man of substance. He should be on the Supreme Court. I think he got appointed by Reagan or Bush 41. I don't remember exactly, but he ordered the FBI, Department of Justice, to transmit to the court all of the investigative files, including the original 302s that were used in indicting General Flynn for perjury. And the drop-dead date was Friday, and they give him everything but the FBI agent's notes, this guy Joe Pietta, who was taking the notes, and the 302, which is their official evidence form, that was made near or about the time that General Flynn was interviewed. So they don't turn it over. They openly defy a federal judge, which is par for the course for Mueller, isn't it?
Certainly is, and even more so for the personnel that he's gathered together, and these, some of whom are the same personnel involved in the case of Ted Stevens, mm-hmm. Senator Ted Stevens from Alaska, which the judge in that case was the same Judge Emmett Sullivan.
Yes.
And he found corruption in that case, and the case ended up, the conviction was dismissed. And so many Americans are hoping and praying that, based on what was produced and given to Judge Sullivan, that he will dismiss this case against this 33-year American hero, General Michael Flynn. Which the more we find out about the case, the more dubious it is. And it becomes more and more clear that Flynn, a man of integrity, by the way, has had no record of even a hint of wrongdoing in his long career. He basically was coerced in some way, which we don't know, to plead to this. And it was a fake crime anyway. You can tell the shame even of Mueller recommending no jail time here, even after Flynn had been bankrupted by having forced to have his own lawyer. And now we have James Comey coming in and giving testimony to Congress and admitting essentially – if we go beyond his rhetoric, what constituted a breach of normal protocol in order to ambush Michael Flynn here is an incoming national security advisor in a brand new administration, and other people who are in his same department, meaning the executive branch, pretend to want to have a kind of a jovial meeting. And it's very common for the FBI to come and meet with the national security advisor to brief him. Mm-hmm. And so his guard was down. And to add, to keep his guard down, the FBI leaked, it appears, it came from the FBI, but someone, at least in association with the FBI, leaked a story to the press that Michael Flynn had been previously investigated and cleared because they didn't want him to have any kind of inkling that he was under investigation.
Yes.
And we now know that he was illegally unmasked. He was illegally basically surveilled, and that the FBI walked in there with knowledge of the exact words he used. They knew exactly the answers to the questions before they were asked. Mm-hmm. And Alan Dershowitz has suggested that this crime of false statements to the FBI, which appears to be the only crime that the Mueller team can get against people, mm-hmm. either that, of course, or crimes that have nothing whatsoever to do with the current period of time, that have to do with tax evasion and not filing documents and things like that, which they did with Manafort. Mm-hmm. But that when they go for a prosecution of false statements, Alan Dershowitz suggests if the FBI is in possession of the answers to the questions, and they basically direct a person or ambush them into a lie, that should not be a crime.
Yes.
In the case of Michael Flynn, we have FBI agents who did not think he was lying, who expressed their opinion that even reportedly
that
Flynn was not lying. Well, we don't know for sure with these false statement cases. What they call a lie is some sort of inconsistency with some other evidence in their possession. And it really is a very ill-defined crime. And I think Alan Dershowitz has at least the idea of reforming this area so that a special prosecutor can't have an investigation that is just based on creating process crimes, which we've now seen a pattern. We saw it with the Fitzgerald special counsel that ended up with Scooter Libby. And we see it over and over again with this Mueller thing. So hopefully, we don't know exactly what was given to the judge, because we see this material that the reporters have gotten a hold of, and it's highly redacted. Yeah. It would seem to me that Emmett Sullivan, being a no-nonsense judge, would say, for my material, I want the redactions removed, mm-hmm. because, you know, there's a concept in the law where judges will receive documents, quote, in mm-hmm. chambers, close quote. It will be private, and the judges can order that. And I can't imagine any legitimate reason to redact documents that a judge has ordered produced pursuant to a criminal case. Judges don't leak.
They all have security clearances. Every federal judge in the country has got a security
clearance. That's exactly right. So
it's absurd.
But we don't know what's going on there. But it would seem to me, first of all, one of the key facts that we know has been reported, this 302 number, okay, 302 just means a report, a fresh report of an interview. Now, the FBI procedurally is supposed to be filing those reports as soon as possible, obviously, because otherwise they're not going to remember or be able to understand every note they took. The 302 report is supposed to be as accurate as possible. In the case of Michael Flynn, the 302 report that was initially produced is dated 7 months after the Michael Flynn interview. That's a breach of protocol. That actually makes zero sense. And that, and because of the fact that it appears the Justice Department had been hiding documents in the Flynn case that were attempted to be requested by Devin Nunes and his committee in the House.
Yes.
But it's very logical to believe that there was another document and perhaps another 302 that was then changed to produce the one that is dated 7 months later. So it's a real fishy case, real. And that's the judge dealt with these people. Prosecutors sometimes in their zeal don't produce exculpatory information that they're required to do. In this case, the information may be embarrassing to the FBI and particularly to Rod Rosenstein, who happens to be Mueller's buddy, who's supposed to be overseeing Mueller. And now that Sessions is gone, he's not supposed to be overseeing Mueller, but we haven't seen a change or any kind of limitation on the ridiculous unlimited power that Mueller's been granted. But in any case, we hope and pray that for the sake of a good man, Michael Flynn. Now, if for some reason the judge doesn't overturn Flynn, I think we can bet on Flynn getting no jail time, some sort of probation, maybe even probation with the ability to expunge his record. But no matter what happens, this is the premier pardon case for the Trump administration. Yeah. It should be the very first on his list to pardon. It's an easy pardon.
Absolutely.
And Michael Flynn would get some semblance of his reputation back. And, you know, I'd be happy for free to negotiate a book deal for him so that he can
we'll
get
do it
his
together.
Life back.
Let's do it together.
Okay, sounds good. But that's my prayer, is that he either gets the case dismissed, he gets a pardon, one or the other, and that he gets restored as much as possible and becomes a Fox News contributor and gets a best-selling book, which is what he deserves.
Well, I predict that he will get a look. If anyone is going to set aside the actions, of the FBI, we got the right judge for that, right?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rud Ruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimin Sakkari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSX-V under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's the only one.
Yeah, like, look
well,
what he did
I shouldn't
with
say
Ted
that,
Stevens.
But he's the top of the list. And it's a huge, huge blow. This is a blow to the Mueller team, the fact that the judge has asked for these documents to be produced. And the Mueller team had postponed Michael Flynn's sentencing for
a year,
for a year and a half at least.
Mm-hmm.
And just put this guy through hell more and more, it seems, for no apparent reason. One of the speculations that have been out there, rumors, is that the special prosecutor threatened Flynn's son, Michael Flynn yes. Jr., and that's why he fell on his sword and gave him the plea. But we don't know that.
Well, the other thing is, there was a story that came out right after Flynn was brought up on charges that McCabe had a meeting of higher-ups at the FBI. I'm not sure if, I'm not sure if it was before or after Comey was fired. But he said, we effed Flynn, and now we're going to F Trump. We're going to get him. And this is what they did. And
no, I meant, I believe, was in the text messages of Peter Strzok.
Yes.
And Peter Strzok was involved with the interview. It was just Strzok and McCabe involved with the interview of Flynn. And yeah, that's a very, very good point. And this guy just came off horribly when he testified in front of the congressional committee. You think of what the Justice Department has done. I mean, mysteriously, 17,000 of those text messages.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Were missing.
How did that
and
happen?
And I understand that the Inspector General's office under Michael Horowitz has been able to bring back
19,000
significant
of them?
Yeah. portion of those.
Yes.
Hopefully they'll bring them all back. And, you know, this is the pattern that emerges, the picture that emerges for the citizens of this country is frightening, and it should be frightening. And we have to expose this, and people have to be held accountable. And I believe it obviously stems from the Obama administration. It was under Obama that the FBI conducted a sham investigation of Hillary Clinton and began a politically minded investigation of then candidate Trump. Mm-hmm. They used illegal unmasking, and they were able to obtain wiretap warrants through fraudulent means, holding back key information from secret FISA judges, FISA judges referring to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And the key information was that the material that they used to justify the FISA warrants was not only unverified, we now know it was false, but it was paid for by Donald Trump's opponent,
by Hillary
Clinton's campaign and the DNC.
And Perkins
Coie. And they held that back.
Yes. Yeah, isn't this wonderful? I mean, you can make this stuff up. It's got all the makings of a spy novel or something here. James, I mean, it's shocking.
Tom Clancy's publisher would say, oh, come on, we won't accept this novel.
That could never happen.
People would never stand for this.
It was
too outrageous.
Right? And yeah.
But it is the makings of a spy novel, no question about it.
Yeah, pretty exciting times. And hey, speaking of literary works, you've got a Christmas album available?
Yeah, I do. It's not literary. I made a living when I was young in the music business, and I grew up in Chicago and ended up playing in the studios there. I played keyboards and harmonica, and I sang, and I was on the road with the Temptations for several years.
Get out. Really? I never knew that about you.
Yeah, it's in my bio. But and I still play. I host jam sessions and stuff in south of L.A. in Orange County, where there are still some normals that live in Southern California. But
less and less all the time, James.
No, that's true. But I get so tired of the Christmas season, having grown up in Chicago a long time ago. You go out shopping, you're in malls, you're in elevators, you're hearing, and it's great to hear, you know, like Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Mm-hmm. But all of the songs that have any reference to He Whose Birthday It Is, and that's Christ, are banished from the public square. And they used to play them and sing them on, you know, Christmas specials, and they play them in schools and sing them in schools. They've been banished from a lot of the schools. By the way, there's a misunderstanding, of course, in this country where parents think that not only are they not allowed to sing Silent Night, they think, or they're not even allowed to bring up Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I mean, it's because of misinformation spread by the help of people at the ACLU. And that isn't the case legally.
Yes.
You know, we have a long cultural heritage. Christmas is an official national holiday where people of all creeds and colors and religions get the day off, and millions of Americans and millions of Americans who aren't Christian put up trees, exchange gifts, but that doesn't stop the politically correct zealots on the left on college campuses across this country.
Why would?
They have banished Christmas trees. They banished Christmas gifts.
The war on
Christmas.
They
banished, in some cases, the word Christmas.
Yeah,
so I put out
Christ
this album, and it's kind of songs that were banished.
Hey, look, I'm Jewish, James, but it really alarms me because I grew up, you know, the holiday season, Christmas, Hanukkah, before there was an artificial holiday of Kwanzaa. And, you know, we never celebrated Ramadan in my town. And what is wrong with this? I mean, this is cultural. This isn't religious per se. And don't you think it's interesting that the best performing TV station the past few weeks has been the Hallmark Channel, which is showing nonstop syrupy, sappy Christmas movies, which I can't get enough of personally?
Yes. Well, It's a Wonderful Life is shown every year in black and white. Mm-hmm. And families are riveted to that incredible movie.
Miracle on 34th Street.
No, it's true. And, you know, when I was growing up, and actually among my friends, you know, we just finished the season of Hanukkah, right? And during the Hanukkah season, we're saying Happy Hanukkah. I saw some menorahs displayed in stores, you know, and then now we're into the Christmas season and we say Merry Christmas. I mean, it's sometimes they coincide and then we say both. I mean, to me, that's true free expression. What they're doing now with drowning out, you know, when we had this, I mean, strange situation where three or four radio stations in the country banned a song, Baby It's Cold Outside.
Yeah, what was that about?
They banned it because they said it was offensive to women. This is a song from the 1940s that won an Oscar.
Yes.
It's sung as a duet between a man and a woman who are flirting.
Yeah.
It's courtship. Yeah. It's not Harvey Weinstein, you know. But the same radio broadcasting business plays hip-hop music, which only refers to women as garden utensils and female dogs, and is clearly, you know, I mean, to compare Baby It's Cold Outside, she says, yeah, I'd like to go, and the guy says, oh, it's very cold, why don't you stay?
Yeah,
and he's flirting with her.
It supports the patriarch, James.
She's not under
it's
duress.
Supporting the patriarch.
And by the way, this song has been sung by that right-wing singer Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
I say that with tongue in cheek. It's
obviously
been sung by Rod Stewart and Dolly Parton Ray Charles and Betty Carter. It goes all the way back to winning an Oscar for a movie where Ricardo Montalban sung it to Esther Williams, the famous swimming actress. And it must have been cold outside. I mean, she's all wet.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know,
I think it was called Neptune's Daughter was the film. And it's just absurd. So if people, by the way, this Christmas album I made is called Where Christmas Lives. And although it's available on iTunes and Google Play and Amazon and stuff, there's a link on my site. They can listen to it for free. And if they purchase it, money goes to Samaritan's Purse, which is Franklin Graham's incredible charity.
Such a good cause.
So it's kind of a statement as opposed to just, you know, just a ordinary record album.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the madness of the left. We deal with it every day, and you know, it couldn't be any more benign than what you're describing here. It's just madness what they're capable of.
Oh no, there's no question. And you know, we talked about Emmett Sullivan being a judge as that no nonsense that's willing to step up. They got a federal judge in Texas.
Yes.
Trial judge Reed O'Connor is his name.
My new
He's
hero.
Bush appointee.
My hero of the week.
And he finally, in a legal opinion, said what virtually everyone said, is that John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who wrote the so-called majority opinion, some people think it was really a dissent that had turned into a majority opinion.
Both of the opinions, they believe.
And that he changed it at the last minute. But it was a convoluted, strange opinion that basically admitted that the federal government can't order people to buy a product.
Yes.
But then it said, but since the federal government can tax, therefore the mandate, individual mandate penalty would be okay. And that somehow would save Obamacare, because rather than calling it a penalty by calling it a tax, it wasn't forcing people. It was a crazy opinion.
Yes.
So fortunately, when Congress was trying to repeal and replace, they got rid of the so-called tax.
Correct.
And because they got rid of the so-called tax, Judge O'Connor says, well, that was the pretext used to save Obamacare. So now the pretext is gone. Now what we have is a naked attempt to coerce people to buy health insurance, and it's unconstitutional, and he struck it down. And because he struck it down, the left, you know, the right is reacting, saying, applauding it, saying wonderful. And of course, majority of Americans who have lost basically most of their coverage because of Obamacare. But by the way, these are the same American people who were told, if you like your doctor, you could keep your doctor.
You mean you can't?
Which was a lie.
You can't do that? I thought you could. Obama said you would be able to.
Yeah. But in any case, the left is saying, well, okay, thank you, Judge, for striking it down. Now it's time for us to take our masks off, and we want, quote, Medicare for all, close quote.
Well, Ocasio-Cortez will be right at the, she'll be running at the mouth, you know, just trying to get that done, right?
And we have to, American people have to understand, we don't have time to go into all the numbers, but Medicare for all means the end of Medicare. Medicare for nobody. That's what that means. So the people that paid into Medicare all their lives, the elderly, will end up with nothing. So, but that's what the left says. The right is trying to get their act together and say, okay, now it's been repealed. Now it's time to replace. And we used to have the best healthcare system in the world. And thanks to Barack Obama, it is a mess. But we can get it back. We can cover pre-existing conditions. We could do it in such a way that keeps the free market alive and does not do what Obamacare do, which sent insurance premiums skyrocketing and deductibles expanding so that millions of Americans who had healthcare coverage ended up with nothing.
I know.
And particularly families and young people ended up with nothing.
Absolutely. You're totally correct on that, James. And talk about being hoisted on your own petard. Hey, if it's not a tax and we don't have a tax anymore, then you can't just force people to buy health coverage. Therefore, the whole schema falls apart. Goodbye. Adios. It's nice to see you go. Thank you so much. And that's that. Hey, James, the best place to find you still, jameshurson.com.
Yes, James Hurson, Run Together, HIRSEN.com. I write for Newsmax.com. and various other places pick it up. I'm also on the social media, on Twitter and Facebook. On, you can search me under James Hirsen, H-I-R-S-E-N.
All right. We love your work, James. We're regular readers on all your platforms. Any questions or comments, again, join the show, kl@carrylutz.com. If you're listening on YouTube, then please subscribe, like, and share. If you're not listening on YouTube, share it with a friend if you think this is a great show, something that your friends can get something out of, or at least be entertained at the very least. We try to do that. Everything else is optional, so let's do it. And, of course, the Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. A lot of you have been giving me feedback there. Appreciate it. James, we will talk to you after the new year. Happy and a healthy new year, and Merry Christmas, and Happy Kwanzaa, and Happy Hanukkah.
All right. Happy Hanukkah, Kwesi Kwanzaa, and Merry Christmas, and a happy, wonderful, prosperous new year. Let's go for justice with a capital J in 2019.
Yeah, that's not just us, which is what it usually means. J-U-S-T-U-S, just us. That's what we have, the Department of Just Us. Anyways, James, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.